welcome. It's great to have you here with us today. If we haven't met, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome to those in the East venue and here in the West venue with me as well. Let me tell you kind of where we're at in case you haven't been here for a little bit. Today we are in week two of a series that we started last week. We're calling it Do-Over. So we started it last week. We're going to continue it today and over the next couple of weeks. And what we talked about last week, let me just kind of bring you up to speed here in about 30 seconds or so, is last week we talked about less is more. And one of the things we talked about is that as Americans, as people, we have a lot of stuff and things, but the reality is the possessions have us. And we have so many, and you'll just see it all over the place. You know, in America, we have homes that we just put all this stuff in our closets, and then when our closets are filled, we put it out in our garage, and the cars are now outside, and the garage is now all this stuff that we have. And then when those fill up, we go into the attic, and then when that's done, then we start paying somebody some good money to be able to put it in a storage unit, and we're paying for people to keep our junk there. And we were talking about last week about less is more. We talked about how what happens is that when we have all this stuff and this clutter, it not only clutters up our house, our garage, our attic, our storage unit, it also clutters up our heart, our mind, our soul. And there's something about when we clean things out, when we get rid of all the junk, all the stuff that we really don't use anymore, and we give it away and stuff, it's just like this, and now we can breathe again, and now our mind isn't like all worried and all this other stuff. We just kind of have clarity. And what's interesting is after last Sunday, Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, on social media, I saw so many of you going, I'm going to Goodwill to get rid of my stuff. I mean, that was awesome. That's great. And, you know, finally somebody's listening. That's great, okay? So that was last week. If you missed that, you can go back to the website and or the app, and you can get the video and the notes for that. So less is more was last week. Today we're going to talk about stress is bad. Next week we're going to talk about giving is good. And then the final week of November, we're going to talk about tomorrow matters. Now, these are in a progression for a purpose and for a reason. So I'd like you to just say them with me, because I want you to try to get these in your mind, in your heart. And here we go. Ready? First one is what? Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. One more time. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. As we go through these over the next few weeks, I hope and pray that you would grab onto these four little statements and you would understand this is something that we need to apply to our life, whether you have a relationship with God or not. This will help each and every one of us. So today, here's what we're talking about. When we talk about stress is bad, I'm going to talk with you because we're coming up next month. In fact, if you haven't looked at a calendar lately, Christmas is on December 25th this year. Okay, and so it's coming up, and so because of that, I want to talk to you not just about stress is bad, but I'm going to talk about specific stress, and it's financial stress. In fact, if you are married, you probably already know this, but what is the number one thing in marriage that most people fight about? Money. That's exactly right. Some of you answer that quickly because you just probably had a fight about it this morning, right? I mean, this is what happens. We fight in marriage about finances and about money. And what happens is this, is that I've never heard anybody say, oh, that high interest rate on my credit card, oh my God, it just brought me and my spouse together like never before. We just love each other because we're paying so much more in interest. It's just amazing. You know, those high interest rates equals hot loving. I mean, that's what it means. I mean, I've never had anybody ever say that to me. Instead, what they say is, I wish I was out of debt. I wish I didn't have to make this payment. I wish I had some money to be able to help other people. I wish, fill in the blank. But yet we are in a point as Americans, not everybody, but most people are upside down financially. Most people are underwater and they don't know how to get above water, to get breathing, because they are so much in debt. This is something that isn't God's heart for us. And I'm going to tell you, in the Bible, the whole Bible, there is more about finances and how to handle our money, our stuff, our things, then there is heaven and hell combined. The Bible talks more about finances than heaven and hell. Do you think maybe God talked more about our finances because he knew we'd always have a problem with it? I believe so. And so today we're going to be talking about this because so many of us are having just pain and this thing that's pushing us down to where we just have this financial stress and we don't know what to do. And with Christmas coming, listen, if you don't handle Christmas right, that's why we're talking about it now. In January, you're going to get this little paper thing in your mailbox called a bill. And you're going to open that envelope and you're going to see your credit card bill and what you paid on Christmas. You're going to go, oh, my goodness. I do not know. I don't know how I was going to pay it before. Now I really don't know how I'm going to pay it. See, we end up buying at Christmas time, we end up buying a whole bunch of presents to people that don't really need them. We spend so much money and we come out as the losers. There's a better way. Let me just give you an example. About 4 or 5 years ago, I had a younger guy come to me and he wanted to ask my opinion on something. He says, I'm looking at buying a new truck. I said, okay. I said, how much is the truck? Truck is $48,000. Oh, mercy. Okay, $48,000 for a truck. Okay. So how long would you have to pay on it and what are the terms? He said it would be 6 years, so that's 72 months. And the interest rate is 19%. Now, after I got done vomiting, I said, wait a minute. I said, $48,000 truck, you're going to pay on it for 6 years at 19% interest. I said, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you know how much you're going to pay altogether? Well, no, I don't know how to figure that out. Okay, let me show you. So we go online. There's different calculators you can do online, and you put in the terms. $48,000 truck, you got 19% interest for 72 months, and it spits out what he would be paying for a $48,000 truck with the interest, the 19% interest every month for 72 months, he would be paying a total of just a little bit over $81,000. So I said, no, wait a minute. I said, so you're going to pay $81,000 for this truck. In 6 years, when you have it paid off, how much, if you wanted to get rid of it, how much do you think you could get for it? He says, I don't know, probably $15,000. I'm going, wait a minute. Okay, $48,000 truck with interest, $81,000. And in 6 years, you're thinking it's only going to be $15,000. Look, I don't know if you passed geometry or algebra or anything, but those numbers are not good. That is not, and that's the problem. A lot of times people don't understand how to understand this interest rate and compound interest and all these types of things. In fact, scripture tells us in Proverbs 22:7, it says this, the rich, listen to this, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower, that's those of us who have credit cards and borrow from the credit card. The borrower is, they say it with me, slave to the lender. And if you have ever been in a borrowing place where you borrowed from somebody and you're now paying that interest on the credit card or on your new car or on that thing you bought or your house, all of a sudden you realize you are a slave to the lender. This is what the Bible tells us. And we are so often in our world, in our society, in our culture, in the United States, we are living like this. We are a slave to the lender. And we just don't know how to get out of it. What if? Just play the what if game with me. What if you didn't have to pay anybody? What if you weren't in debt? What if you didn't have to pay those credit cards? What if you didn't have to pay for that car? What could you do? What if you actually had money? I know it's a crazy idea. But what if we actually had money? And if something in your house breaks, you actually can pay to get it fixed or buy a new one. What if you were out of debt and you had somebody that was close to you, maybe a family member, a friend, a close person that you know, that is struggling? They maybe have some medical bills. They maybe don't have rent. They maybe need some food. And if you didn't have to pay all this other stuff to these people that have lent you money, you could actually help this person. What if you didn't have debt, and all of a sudden you got a week off of work, and all of a sudden Most people in America, when they have a week off of work, they don't go anywhere because they can't afford to go anywhere. But now you're out of debt. And all of a sudden you got a week off of work, and the only decision you have to make is where I'm going to go. And you can actually take a vacation. What would it be like if we were actually out of debt, if we weren't a slave to the lender? What would that actually look like? Can I tell you? God is very clear about this. God speaks so much about our tithes, our offerings, our finances, our stuff, our things. He talks about this more than heaven and hell combined. And here's why. Listen, I'll let you know a little secret. It's because it's all His. Not a thing that you have is yours. Because, now correct me if I'm wrong, but when you were born, when you came out of your mama, you did not have a wallet or a purse come out with you, right? I'm assuming. That'd be really odd if it did, okay? So you came in this world with nothing, and if I understand right, when you die, when we leave this planet, we cannot take our 401k. We cannot take our purse and our wallet or our credit card. All that stuff stays here. So in other words, we came with nothing, we're going to leave with nothing, and what we have in this in-between time on this planet is all God's. And we are just simply stewards of what God has allowed us to have. And Scripture tells us so much that if we are faithful in handling God's stuff while we're on this planet, the way God calls us to, He will bless us with more. Can I tell you that so many people today, I know it's not probably not you, those people you're sitting next to, but they are not being blessed with more from God because they are not handling their finances the way God calls us to do it. What if we actually, just crazy talk, what if we actually started handling the finances that God has allowed us to be stewards of during this time on this planet? What if we actually did it God's way? God would bless us. Because we would now not be having everything for us. We are now a blessing to other people as well. So today as we're talking about financial stress and how that financial stress is bad, how do we get out of this financial stress? Well, I want to talk to you today about three prayers that we need to pray. And I want to encourage each of us to pray these prayers and to apply the things we're going to talk about today. Because this could change your life, and it could also change, if you're married, your marriage. So the first prayer I want us to learn is this. The first prayer is this. God, give me self-control. In fact, say it with me. God, give me self-control. Some of you, as you just said that with me, you were looking at your spouse. Can I remind you of something? The third word in that prayer is, God, give me self-control. But yet, some of you are going, give him self-control. Give her self-control. This is a prayer for yourself. Don't try to put guilt on your spouse or your kids or your parents. This is for you. God, give me self-control. In Proverbs 25, it says this, like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. In other words, back in Bible days, the cities would have walls around to protect them so that other cities wouldn't kind of take them over. So they had these walls to protect them. Well, a city with its walls break down is not protected. In other words, if somebody comes to invade them, that city's going to lose. When we are just like that. When we do not have self-control, when it comes to finances, we are going to lose. You see, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but every once in a while, when you're like out at a store somewhere, let's say you're getting groceries or whatever, it could be Walmart, Target, Yokes, whatever, but you're now in line to pay for your groceries. Sometimes, you've probably seen this too, I know I've seen it many times, there is a parent, maybe a dad, maybe it's mom and dad, with a 2-year-old. And they're in front of you. And you're noticing that as you go up to the cash register to check out everything, the little 2-year-old sees what? All these candies and all this stuff. And they're going, I want it. I want. And they start whining, right? Have anybody seen that before? 3 of us. Okay. So anyway, but they start whining. And they start, I want it. And oftentimes parents will say no and not let them do it. Sometimes they'll just give in and give it to the kid, which really teaches the kid that when they whine, they get what they want. And so they do this, and you're sitting there watching this going, oh my goodness. Can I remind us of something? Within each of us as adults, we have a two-year-old inside of us that we need to keep there. Because this two-year-old will oftentimes try to get out. And it'll go, I want that. And here we are as adults, but we act like two-year-olds sometimes. We see something and I want it. Well, how are you going to pay for it? I'll just put it on a credit card. I'll just go more in debt. We do this over and over in our life. Can I give you some examples? And I'm going to start. Dear God, help me. I'm going to start with you ladies. Ooh. So ladies, when you walk by a clearance rack, when you walk by a clearance rack, there is something about you that you just have to stop. And you have to look at everything. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I got to try this on, right? And so you try it on. And it's like some sort of outfit or shirt or pants. Or like, oh, I need this. And oh, I didn't see this one. And then pretty soon, you're buying 1, 2 outfits, 3, 50 outfits. I don't know how many you buy some. But then here's what I also know. After you got the outfits that you tried on, that's from the clearance rack, as you're walking through the department store, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, that purse would match perfectly with my dress. That I need that necklace. That would just, that bracelet. Oh my goodness. And all of a sudden, and then if you're married, some of you aren't married, I understand, but if you're married, you go home to your spouse, right? And you tell your spouse, look what I got. And you say something like this, and it only cost me whatever. And you think by putting the word only in there that, oh, it's not that. It was only $500. But what if you took out the word only? Now suddenly $500 sounds a little bit bigger. And here's what happens. When you go to the clearance rack and you buy all the accessories that goes with the things from the clearance rack, all of a sudden, ladies, listen, you are nickel and diming things, and that will sink the ship. Men, you and I, we don't nickel and dime and sink the ship. We just blow the ship up all at once. Right? You come home from work, if you're married, come home to your wife, and you say something like this. You go, hey, I bought a boat. And I bought a truck to pull the boat. All we need now is a lake house. Woo, it's going to be awesome, right? And your wife go, we never even talked about a boat. But see, where you're, if you're married, if you're, ladies or if wives, you are nickel and diming things, and eventually they'll sink the ship. But guys, we blow it up all at once. Oh, my goodness. We are known for doing that. Why? Because we let this little two-year-old out. We saw the boat, we saw the truck, and we're going, mine, I want that. I don't care how, I'm just going to get it. I'm just going to pay and pay and pay and pay for months and years, but I'm going to get it. And you sink the ship. Whew. Wow, why do we do that? Why do we not have self-control? I remember thinking of self-control. I remember when I was probably around 11 years old, I did what's called a March for Dimes walkathon. It was a 20-mile walkathon. And you get people to sponsor you a certain amount for each mile you walk. And so I was doing that to raise money for March of Dimes. And about 11 years old, I remember doing this. And I was walking throughout our town. And you had to walk this certain route. And it's about 15 miles in. It was late spring, might have been early summer, in fact. But it was warm. And I remember about 15 miles in that we're going through this neighborhood was the route. And here was a little lemonade stand with a couple of kids there. And I thought, oh, good, man, I'm thirsty. And as I get up to it, as an 11-year-old, not having a whole lot of money, coming up to it, I see that there a couple of lemonade is a buck. And I'm like, that is just water with sugar in it. That is not worth a dollar. And so I just walked on by, parched as all could be, and finished the last five miles of this thing. Which would tell you, in my marriage, am I the saver or am I the spender? Probably the saver is where I'm at, right? So many in marriage, what if? Because if I'm talking, let me talk to marriage people for a second. In marriage, it's not normal for people to be both. It's not, most people in a marriage aren't both savers or both spenders. Usually one is the saver and one is a spender. And I'm going to tell you, because the number one thing that we fight about in marriages, we learn, is that it's about finances. And why is that? When we're married, why don't we get together and solve this problem? The saver wants to do it, but sometimes maybe the spender doesn't want to do it. But what if, listen, what if instead of having this financial stress tear you apart, what if you guys worked on it together? What if you guys both came and climbed the mountain together to tear this mountain down together? Could it probably bring you closer together in your marriage? Could it change your life and change your marriage? But yet in our society, we fight about finances in our marriages, and it tears us apart, and sometimes people divorce because of it. This isn't God's heart. God's heart is for us to handle his finances the way that he tells us to. If we could get this right. Ladies, let me come back to you. Some of you ladies, oh, I'm treading where even angels fear to go. Some of you ladies get your fingernails done every week. Now, can I tell you who you're doing that for? Ladies, you are not getting your fingernails done for guys. You are getting your fingernails done for other ladies. I have never heard two guys talk to each other and go, man, did you see her fingernails? Woo! Huh? Never heard that before. No. Boy, I got to get me some of those fingernails. Woo! Man. Do you think they're real or fake? I mean, that is, I'm telling you, guys don't care about the fingernails. When you get your fingernails done every week, it's for other ladies, right? What if, let's just play the what if game. What if instead of having your nails done for other ladies every week, what if you instead just did it once a month? And the other 3 weeks that you would have done it, you are saving that money and you're paying down your debt. At some point then, when your debt is gone, you can get your nails done every week. But what if we just lived a little bit differently? Guys, now this, ladies, this could be you, but seems like I know more guys that do this. We'll play golf. And you'll play golf at the most expensive golf course in Tri-Cities. What if instead you only play that one once a month, and the other 3 weeks of the month, you are at a less expensive golf course, or maybe you're just doing putt-putt golf, I don't know, whatever, right? And you're saving that money that you would have spent at the golf course, the big golf course, and you're putting that on debt. And over time, then the debt's gone. You can go back to the big expensive one all you want after that. What if? Oh, I'm meddling now. What if you didn't spend $5, $6, $8, $10 on a cup of coffee? Woo! Come on. And instead you say yes to coffee that you buy in the grocery store. That's crazy talk, Mark. And the money that you save, right, goes on your debt as you pay debt off. Instead of keep adding debt as you buy these coffees on a credit card. What if you want to get a new car, but you look and you realize the terms, how many years, and the interest rate, that's just way out of my league. What if instead you said, I'm going to drive my old car for another couple of years. And the money that I would have been paying on this new car, I'm going to save up so I can put more of a down payment so I'll have less payments, or I can just buy it outright. What if we did that? What if we lived differently than what society does? I know that society says, oh, it's great, it'll build your credit. No, it won't. It'll tear you down. It'll cause you to have sleepless nights. It'll cause you, if you're married, to have fights. This is not what God's heart is. This is not what God wants us to do. Dave Ramsey, everybody probably knows Dave Ramsey from Financial Peace University. Here's a quote that he says, I'm going to put on the screen for you. If you live like no one else, then one day you can live and give like no one else. See, everybody else is going in debt. But if you live like no one else, you're not going into debt. In fact, you're paying off debt as fast as you can. Then one day you can live and give like no one else. What if you got to that point? What would that look like for you? What would it look like for your marriage? What would it look like for your family? Let me give you another prayer that we need to learn. Prayer is this: God, give me understanding. Will you say it with me? God, give me understanding. We need to understand finances. We need to understand how to handle our money. Let me give you a verse. In Hosea says this. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed." Why are your people destroyed? They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So often we do not understand how finances work. Most people, when they go to buy like a car or furniture or something like that, they only ask two questions. The first question is simply this: how much is down payment? How much do I need to put down? The second question is this: how much a month? Can I tell you those are the wrong questions? To ask how much to put down and then how much a month, you're going, oh, I can afford that per month. What the question is that you really need to be asking them is this: how much does this really cost? When I put down this much and then I'm paying this much plus the interest, at the end of it all, what is the total cost? Just like the guy that was looking at the $48,000 truck. When he finally figures out it's really $81,000, that is not a good plan. We got to understand this. We got to begin to learn some of these things. In fact, let me give you something. This last week, I'm getting ready for the message today, I Googled what is the average credit card debt that Americans have. And it came out at $16,000. Average American debt for credit card is $16,000 per person. Now, some of you hearing that are feeling really good. Some of you are going, "Woo! I've only got $15,999 on my, woo, I'm under it. That's awesome," right? Others of you are like, "Whew, I remember when I only had $16,000 of debt, but now I'm way past that." And some of you are now feeling horrible about this. But the average credit card debt that people in America have is $16,000. Now, here's the thing. If we owe $16,000 to the credit card company, and let's say we pay $250 a month at 19% interest. Now, let me hit pause for a second. If you do not know how much interest you are paying on your credit cards, you need to figure that out today. Because you could probably save money by just switching it over to another card with a lower credit card, with a credit amount. This would be to your advantage. So if we have $16,000 in credit card debt and we pay a $250 a month at 19% interest, it will take us 40 years to pay it off. 40 years to pay off $16,000. And over that 40 years with that 19% interest, can I tell you how much the interest over those 40 years on that $16,000 would be? It'd be $105,000 in interest. On $16,000 of debt. Does that make sense? But yet we have a society and a world that is doing this now. But again, God calls us to be counterintuitive. God calls us to live different than culture. God calls us to live different than the world. That's what God's calling you and I to do. But what if this? What if now we didn't have the $16,000 in credit card debt? Instead, we had the $16,000, and we were to invest it in something between 10 to 12% over 40 years, you would have at that point $1.5 million. Now, let me tell you, for me, I don't know if I'm going to be around 40 years from now. If you are in your 20s, this is amazing. If you were to start this now, I know 40 years sounds like a crazy amount of time, but I'm going to tell you, once you've lived 40 years, you look back and go, man, that went fast. If you start applying this, you could retire in your 60s with $1.5 million. Whew. But it gets better. Let me give you something else. If we took that same $16,000, now we don't owe it to the credit card, we have the $16,000, we invest that, And now that we don't have any credit card debt, so the $250 a month that we're paying to credit card, now we're putting that $250 a month into investing. What's going to happen? That's $16,000 plus $250 every month over 40 years being invested. You will retire with just shy of $5 million. I wish I knew this when I was 20. If you are 20, can I talk to you if you're 20 for a second? If you are 20 and you're not doing this, you're an idiot. I'm telling you right now, 40 years from now, if you don't do this, you're going to go, oh, I should have listened to Mark 40 years ago. I could be a millionaire right now instead of living at the mission. I mean, this is something that we got to understand. Compound interest. Compound interest is huge. It can work for you or it can work against you. But it's something that we've got to understand. Let me give you the third prayer. God, give me a plan. God, give me a plan. I need a plan. Proverbs tells us this. Proverbs says this, the plans of the diligent leads to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Are you diligent? Do you have a plan? Listen, do you have a plan for getting out of debt? Well, I don't know. I just kind of, cross my fingers and hope. Well, that ain't going to work. Do you have a plan? Let me give you something for your note. Here it is. You can stumble into debt, but you never stumble out of debt. You can stumble into debt, but you never stumble out of debt. I have never heard anybody come to me and say, you know what, I don't know how this happened. I accidentally paid off all my bills. I don't know how that happened. You can stumble into debt, but you don't stumble out of debt. You get out of debt because you have a plan. And if you're married, you have a plan together as a husband and wife. This is what we need to get through. We need to learn to apply these prayers and to do these things. Can I tell you, over the last number of years, here at C3, we have different small groups semesters. And we always do different ones. We always do like a Financial Peace University. There's another one that's Financial Peace University called Legacy. There's another group that's called I Was Broke, Now I'm Not. And all these things will show you the problem and how you can have a plan to get out of debt. And we have seen, from people who've gone through these groups, we have seen people cut up credit cards. They get rid of credit cards. They pay off. And over the 8 or 9 week semesters, by the very end, many people have paid off hundreds and most of them thousands of dollars in debt. This could be you. You could be one of these. Now, small groups are getting ready to slow down for the holidays, just before Thanksgiving. But in January, they're all starting up again. What if you were to join one of these groups and actually begin to learn the problem and learn how to handle it better, and all of a sudden you have a plan to get out of debt? Whew. Why? Well, what do we know? Well, here's what we know. Say it with me. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Say it again. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Do you believe that? If so, I hope that you're going to be here the next couple of weeks, because this is stuff we got to understand, or else this will sink the ship. Let's pray. So, Father, we wrap up our time together today. And I thank you that, God, that you know us better than we know ourselves. I thank you that you speak more about finances and possessions. You talk about more of that in all of Scripture than heaven and hell combined. Lord, you knew from the very beginning we would all have trouble, we'd all have problems with this. And so, Father, right now I just pray that you would help us to pray these three prayers, that we would begin to apply the things that we talked about today, that we would ask for your help and you would guide us and you would help us. Father, we know that when we came in this world, we brought nothing into it, and when we leave, we're not going to take anything with it. But Lord, in the in-between time, you've allowed us to have some of the things that are yours. You've allowed us to be the stewards of it. Would you help us to handle it right, to handle it your way, because you know what is best. So Lord, I pray For married couples right now that have been fighting over finances, I pray that you would draw them closer together and help them to conquer this together, and may that draw them closer to each other and also to you. Father, I pray for those that are not married, that are struggling in their finances. I pray that you would help them to say these prayers and to apply these things and to be able to get their finances taken care of even before they ever get married. Lord, I just thank you for what you want to do, is you want to set people free. And Father, you are always a God of the do-over. You help us and give us a do-over when we mess up our finances. You give us another do-over. But God, here's the thing. You also give us a do-over when we don't have a relationship with you. You're always pursuing us. You're always loving us. You're always wanting us to come into relationship. And Lord, today, under the sound of my voice right now, there are people here today that do not have a relationship. Maybe they never have, and they're just exploring what a relationship with Jesus is. Maybe they had a relationship at some point, but they kind of wandered away. But Lord, today is their day to come into relationship with you. I'm talking about a simple message about finances. Lord, reminds us that we owe you a great debt. All the sin, all the things that we have done. But Jesus, you paid that debt. When you died on the cross to pay the debt of our sin, so we do not have to. And so Jesus, because of that, you've canceled our debt. When we come into a relationship with you. So Jesus, today, right now, some are saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you that you paid for my penalty, for my sin, so I don't have to. Thank you that I can now have a relationship with you. You can be Lord of my life now and Savior of my soul after I die. So Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray right now for those that are making that decision. I pray that you would just put your arms around them and let them feel your love and your presence, that you are a do-over God. And we say thank you. In your amazing name we pray.